Now, the widow of Lahinch native Micheál Mic Ryan, who died in an air crash with 156 others in 2019, is welcoming an inquest ruling in Britain, which found the three British victims of the crash were unlawfully killed. Micheál, who dedicated his life to helping others through his work with the UN World Food Programme, lost his life on the 10th of March 2019 when the Boeing 737 MAX aircraft he was travelling on from Addis Ababa to Nairobi crashed minutes after takeoff, killing everyone on board. Now, Boeing pleaded not guilty to a charge of defrauding the US to get regulators to approve the safety of its MAX 737 jet, and a total of 346 people were killed in that crash and when another 737 MAX operated by Lion Air in Indonesia crashed moments after leaving Jakarta Airport on the 28th of October 2018. The two crashes occurred when an automated flight control system, which Boeing did not initially disclose to airlines and pilots, pushed the nose of the plane down due to a faulty sensor reading. 2 years ago, Boeing was fined $2.5 billion by the US Justice Department. However, nobody has ever been held to account for the deaths of Mic Ryan and the 345 others who died in those two crashes. On Monday, an inquest at Horsham in Britain heard that Boeing was playing Russian roulette with people's lives by allowing a plane with a design flaw in the air. Mic Ryan's widow, Nisha Conley Ryan, and his mother, Christine, are both welcoming this UK ruling, saying those responsible at Boeing must now be prosecuted for manslaughter. And Nisha joins us this morning. A very good morning to you, Nisha.
Good morning, Alan.
And thank you very much for being with us. Can you tell us a bit more, give us a bit more background about this inquest which took place in the UK on Monday in Horsham?
Yes, so this inquest was triggered originally from in the UK because they have certain laws, I believe, in the UK that even if someone is killed in a plane crash but the bodies are repatriated, then the coroner has to open an inquest into the death. Now, the reason it's taken 4 years is because the final report, the Ethiopian report, didn't come out until December last year. And then, of course, they had to go through all the evidence before they could bring about this case. And then on Monday, we got the very welcoming news that they issued a verdict of unlawful killing. This is a win for the UK. The people that attended that inquest, but it really is a win for all of us, everyone that had loved ones on board, because this verdict is as it should be. Everybody was unlawfully killed on that plane.
Yeah, and as I say, the phrase that was used at the inquest, Boeing was playing Russian roulette with people's lives by allowing a plane with a design flaw in the air, particularly when, you know, compounded by the fact that, as I say, there was the prior crash in Indonesia almost 6 months previously. You would think that happening would set alarm bells ringing at Boeing and they would ground every 737 MAX aircraft thereafter until the problems were sorted out, but no.
Absolutely, and they should. And if they had, the second crash would never have happened and our loved ones would still be alive today. So it really is a case of manslaughter because they knew these planes were unsafe and they kept them flying. And it's also important to just say at this point that they were insisting even after the second crash that the planes were still safe. And it was only when countries across Europe in particular, but across the world, started grounding the planes that it was only then America grounded the planes. But they were one of the last to ground the planes. So they were insistent that the planes keep flying.
And they weren't disclosing this either to passengers or the pilots, their own employees.
Well, there was a lot of information they weren't disclosing. This all came about because they hadn't disclosed critical information about MCAS to the FAA, and in doing so, there was a design flaw in the plane because they only had one sensor associated with this MCAS system. So, if anything went wrong. And let's say, you know, you things can go wrong with sensors and whatever, and what you're supposed to have is a redundancy, something that can take over if one part goes wrong. And in this case, they only had one sensor, so the sensor was faulty and MCAS was triggered. And it was literally the pilots had no control over the plane. There was a piece of software that they knew nothing about. And within the cockpit as well, they have this old flight alert system that goes back to the 1960s that has never been updated. So there was a cacophony of alarms and lights flashing and things going on, and they were frantically looking up training manuals to try and figure out what happened, but there was no mention of MCAS. So they lost total control of the plane, and there was only one way out of it then, and that was it was going to crash.
Just as you're describing that, Niche, to think of, you know, you're in the air, you've seconds to spare, and you're frantically, and the pilots are the ones who are supposed to be in control, and it was, as you say, through no fault of their own, they should have been aware of all of this, that they're looking through manuals. That's really not the time, and you don't have the time to be doing that in such a critically dire situation. It's just awful.
And these were very experienced pilots. The Boeing and the NTSB were trying to point the finger initially at the pilots, like they did in the Indonesian crash. They were saying, "Oh, the pilots made errors and all the rest of it," never disclosing this MCAS again. And but these were very experienced pilots. This could have happened anywhere in the world. This could have happened with any pilot in the world, because these planes were flying all over the world. It just so happened that it was this plane in Ethiopia.
I was really interested by the comments from Penelope Schofield, the senior coroner at the inquest in Horsham. She said that two Boeing employees had deliberately deceived regulators and operators of the 737 MAX about the operation of that safety critical system. Those are very stark and serious words, and you would hope they're heeded by further afield than just Britain.
Yeah, because there is direct evidence that proved they deceived regulators. However, you don't get rogue employees inside in a company saying, "Oh, we're going to do this and just on our own," and this hasn't been there's no pressure coming down from the top. This is something that goes right back to the top, and yet Boeing received immunity from the secret deal they made with the Department of Justice in the US back in 2021 that we knew nothing about, that we were left out of, and we have since gone to court and proved that we are victims under the Victims' Rights Act, and that we were unlawfully left out of these negotiations with Boeing. But these negotiations with Boeing also give Boeing immunity from prosecution. So everything has been set up so that Boeing get away with murder.
How likely do you think it is then, given that they have that immunity deal, that any Boeing executives will eventually face manslaughter charges? Not one single person has ever been held to account, and you would have to say on the face of it, given what you have just said, it seems at this moment in time unlikely that any will.
Well, we're continuing to work through the courts, the justice system in the US, and we're now going to an appeal court to try and reverse the secret deal the Justice Department made with Boeing. Basically have the deferred prosecution agreement torn up, to rescind the immunity from Boeing and to have them tried for manslaughter, to prosecute them for manslaughter.
How hopeful are you, Nisha, that that agreement will be, as you call it, unlawful, unjust, will be torn up by the US Justice Department on foot of perhaps maybe a domino effect? Now, this latest inquest ruling in the UK, very serious words and very serious statements made at that, and maybe we may see other inquests happening in relation to other passengers elsewhere around the world, that it will build up enough of a head of steam to make them take heed and take notice of it.
Well, this has definitely given our campaign momentum, and I think you're right. I think other countries need to look into this and need to start their own inquest into this, and basically countries need to come together and push the US government and the US Department of Justice to rescind this deal and to reopen this case.
Last time we spoke with you was in relation to your open letter to US President Joe Biden when he was visiting Ireland. You were seeking a short meeting with him. I presume that didn't happen, though not for the want of trying on your part.
It didn't happen, and as you say, not for the want of trying. But I was made aware that he was handed the letter, so I'm hopeful that he read it. Have I heard from him? No. Have I heard from anyone in his administration? No. But, you know, it's as much to raise awareness with them if I can. And at some point, maybe we will get that meeting with them.
Do you believe that it's still worth trying to capture the attention of the arguably the most powerful world figure, the US president, who might be able to do something to help, as you say? Even if you didn't get to meet him, he has the letter. Obviously, the in-tray of US presidents is a stack of priorities a mile high, but that eventually he will get to it. And he describes himself as a family man, very much cares about family, and that this is the kind of issue that may tug on the heartstrings and may eventually, somewhere down the line during his presidency, get him to do something about it.
Absolutely. I mean, he has experienced his own loss. He lost his wife and child very early on, his first wife and child in a few years after they were married. He lost his son more recently. I think he is a good man. I think he is someone that, fights for justice. And this is all about justice. And this ruling should really open his eyes, if nothing else, at the UK inquest. Can he interfere with the US Department of Justice? Not really. But what he can do is support us. And he can do everything to support us by getting us another meeting with Merrick Garland, who is his appointee for the Attorney General in the US, the head of the US Department of Justice. And he can also help us remove a sealing order which prevents us from sharing critical information that we know about in our civil cases with the Department of Justice, so that they can prosecute these people and try them for manslaughter. So there's a lot he can do by supporting us, but obviously he can't directly interfere with the justice system, but he can support us.
When you were last on, Nisha, you know, I asked you about the last 4 years and how difficult and trying it has been on emotionally, mentally and physically, but you talked about, you know, just that resolve and will to fight on to seek justice for Mick. Is that helped when something like this ruling at the inquest in Britain happens and you hear such strong words and strong statements in relation to what Boeing did and didn't do in not initially disclosing what was wrong with their 737 MAX aircraft? Things like that give you the strength to keep going?
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely gives us all momentum and it strengthens our will. We have an ever increasing group of people now that, you know, we're just devastated in grief for so long, that are getting a little bit stronger and stronger, and we're all kind of coming together and fighting that bit harder again. So it definitely increases our resolve, and it definitely, this is not just important though in terms of justice for our loved ones, you know, those that have been killed. This is also really important for the future, because if we don't do this, our kids, our grandchildren, our families, our friends, you know, flying is getting more easier. People are taking, you know, hundreds of flights, you know, a year in some cases. And without this case going ahead, and without these people being tried for manslaughter and the truth of the whole situation being revealed, this couldn't happen again. You know, so it really has to show that you cannot get away with murder, no matter who you are, no matter what status you have, no matter how powerful you think you are, you cannot get away with murder. And this is so important.
Nisha, we wish you well, and we do look forward to the day when you eventually get justice for Mick, yourselves and the other family members as well. And thank you, as ever, for taking the time to join us on Morning Focus.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you.
That's Nisha Connolly-Ryan there speaking with us.